Father, we are just grateful to be together this morning. We are grateful to be able to hear from your word. And I pray that the things that I have to share with us this morning would be from you. They would be faithful to the truth. And as Jody and Dale both prayed, Lord, I ask that we would all be challenged and encouraged by what I have to share this morning. So thank you. Thank you for who you are and everything that you've done for us. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Should have got myself ready. So, all things come to an end. As we know, Christmas Day has already finished up. Soon the service that we're attending is going to be finishing up. This day is going to finish up, and then soon the year is going to be finishing as well. And this is because all things come to an end. And when things finish up, it's actually important to stop and to look back and sort of take stock of everything that has taken place, to reflect on the things that have happened. Take this year, for example. For many of us, this has actually been a massive year. We started the year, I don't know if you remember this, we started the year with some lockdowns. We've had mask mandates for over half the year. We've had vaccine mandates cause fierce division between family and friends. In the church, we have said farewell to much-loved friends. We've welcomed new people into the church. There's been other struggles as well that we've had. Some people have had major health issues that are ongoing. Many operations. There's been good things as well. We've had baby dedications. We've had funerals as well. This is not a good thing, but a sad thing that we have mourned together. Some people have moved home. Some people have started studying. Some people have started working full-time for the first time. Many changes have gone on this year. And so when we think back, and as you guys are probably thinking back now, it has been a massive year for many of us. But through all the celebration, the challenge, and the change that we have been faced with, one of the things that has remained constant is our Sunday services. Rain, hail, or shine, we have been able to gather here, worship together, and hear some of God's word preached. Sometimes it's been online given, but nearly the whole year we've been able to do this consistently. And through our preaching, we've heard from the Psalms, we've heard from 1 Timothy, we've heard from John's Gospel. And if you joined us for any of the night services, we heard from 1 John as well. So if you've been coming along, and I see that some people are here for the second time, but if you've been coming along to our services and you've actually had the opportunity to feast on a smorgasbord of biblical truth this year. But with the year coming to a close, it's actually important to stop and to actually think about what it is we're doing here. What are we doing when we come and we sit here on a Sunday morning and we hear somebody preach? What are we doing here? What is the point of this? Well, in order for us to actually answer these questions, I want to keep with this theme that I've got of things coming to an end by actually looking at some of the preaching in the scriptures and seeing how people actually bring these sermons to a close. And by doing this, my aim is actually to draw out just a couple of big ideas which I think will be really challenging but also encouraging for us this morning. So first of all, let's consider some of the key reactions that people actually had to preaching in the scriptures. Now, there are many prophecies, speeches, and sermons that are recorded in both the Old and the New Testament. Here's just a few. People like Moses, Samuel, Nathan, Jonah, Ezra, Peter, Stephen, Paul, and of course the good Lord Jesus himself, all of them have got powerful words that they have spoken recorded in the pages of the scriptures. These men, as prophets of God, he actually gave them words to speak, and they served as his mouthpiece. They were just the vessel. They were just the messenger. The words were his. And this is kind of the key idea of preaching itself. Of course, you've got the proclamation element of actually declaring something. That's what we understand when we see preaching. But the important characteristic for Christian preaching is actually that we are sharing God's word with people. The things that we're saying, it's not good moral or philosophical teaching. If we get it right, it's actually God's word to us. It's a weighty thing. That's why there's great judgment upon teachers. And this is an incredibly powerful concept for us to actually realize. Have a listen to what God says about his words in Isaiah 55. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed the thing for which I sent it. So when God speaks, he never ever will he actually fail to achieve the thing which he purposes to do by his speech. Which of course that shouldn't be a surprise. He is all powerful. So of course the things that he says are going to be powerful and effective. And here's the kicker. When people speak God's word on his behalf, that same power and effectiveness is actually available as well. This is what I read before. God's word shall not return empty. It shall accomplish and succeed in its purpose. So when God's word is faithfully preached, it does not return back empty. It achieves its purpose. Not because the power is in the preacher. Our power for salvation is not in ourselves, and our power of preaching is not in the speaker. It's not in the words either, as if it's like a spell, like a magical spell. You say the magical words and the doors open. That's not where the power is. The power is actually in the fact that the words themselves are truth. The source of these words is God. And he has actually chosen to reveal himself to us through people preaching his word on his behalf. That's how he has chosen to speak to his people. So that's kind of been a bit of a foundation for what preaching has looked like in the scriptures. Now let's consider some of the reactions that people have had to God's word. So when Moses read the book of the covenant back in Exodus, the people of Israel heard it and they said, yes, we will do these things. There's Nathan. He goes to David. And I actually really love this passage, a bit of entrapment. He traps David and confronts him about the evil that he did to Uriah and Bathsheba. And this is what David responds. He's penitent and he confesses his sin when he hears what he has done. Ezra and others actually read the book of the law after the exile in the gathering of the people. And two things happen. The people worshipped God from what they heard. And the second thing is actually wept because of what had happened to the people of Israel. Jesus teaches in the New Testament. Pretty much every time we're told people are astonished. They are amazed at the way that Jesus was teaching as one with authority. Then there's Peter's sermon at Pentecost. He actually said, hey, you murdered the author of life. Said that to 3,000 Jews. You killed the author of life. And the people were actually cut to the heart. They were so confronted with their sin and the grace of God in sending Jesus to die for it. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. And so they asked the apostles and they said, repent and be baptized. So you can see from these examples that the preaching of God's word can be powerful and effective, and it can have a wonderful and incredible impact on us when we hear it. Now, before we move on to our second big idea for this morning, I'd like to actually remind everybody of Jonah's preaching when he went to Nineveh. So pretty much all of us would be familiar with the story of Jonah and the big fish, right? But that's kind of where we often leave the story. But after Jonah gets spat out on the shore, he actually goes to Nineveh and he preaches God's word. And an important fact to know about Nineveh is actually that they didn't believe in Yahweh. They didn't believe in the one true God. They were a foreign nation that worshipped idols. They worshipped false gods. And so the message that Jonah was actually bringing to Nineveh was a message of judgment. This is what he goes into the city to say. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What a flattering message for Jonah to deliver to the people. They are going to be destroyed in 40 days because of their wickedness. You can just imagine how the people responded to this. I've got a sidebar here of Jeremiah. So God said to Jeremiah, go into the temple, go into my temple, not a random temple, go into the temple of the Lord, proclaim my message of judgment to the people. And the priest had Jeremiah beaten up and thrown in stocks for doing God's will. So you can imagine you've got Jonah here going to a foreign nation and telling them about God's judgment against them for their wickedness. This is how they responded. The people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and they put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published it throughout Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. So that's a bit of a contrast, really, to the priests in Judah. They hear this message and they're cut to the heart. They receive what Jonah has actually shared with them, unlike the Jews in Israel. And their reaction wasn't a tiny one. They didn't say, good message, Jonah. The whole city, over 120,000 people, put on sackcloth and ashes and fasted. They acknowledged, this is not just a thing, a ceremony. They were actually acknowledging their wickedness before God. They were humbling themselves before him and actually repenting of their sin, repenting of their wrongdoing. A city-wide fast of people crying out to God for forgiveness. That's amazing. And it's something we should pay attention to. The Ninevites aren't normally a good role model for us. In fact, the people from this point forward, they were destroyed a few hundred years later. But the magnitude of their response in this instance is something that we should actually pay attention to. We should think about that kind of response to hearing God's word. We should think about what that means for our life. Because here we can see clearly that God's word is powerful and it is effective. Amazing. The Jews, their hearts were hard, and so they didn't actually receive the message. They rejected it. They ignored it. But these Ninevites, they were actually brought to their knees, a whole city, reduced to sackcloth and ashes. And so what this actually highlights for us is that there is times where God's word, whether you are sitting there at home and reading your Bible or hearing it on a Sunday morning, there are times where all of us should be cut to the heart, impacted by what we read. That's God's word. It's powerful and it's effective. Now, we certainly don't need to be going home after this morning's sermon, putting on rags and rubbing dirt on our faces. If Jason were here, he does that every Sunday anyway. But that's too literal. The thing that we have to take note of here is actually how humble those people were before God's word. They were open to receive what it was. They were open to be completely wrong. They were open to be offended, to be convicted of sin. That's kind of where we need to be, being open to let God do whatever he wants to do through his word. That's something that we need to be doing in our lives. So that is a bit of a snapshot for us of how some of the people actually reacted to the preaching in the scriptures. Now, the second big idea that I want us to look at this morning is actually how Jesus finished up one of his sermons that is actually quite well known, which is where our Bible reading came from this morning. So this was the end of a sermon that started in Matthew chapter 5 and continued through to the end of chapter 7. Jesus here addresses the crowd, and he actually taught them about many, many different things. So if you're familiar with the sermon, he begins with the Beatitudes. He kind of throws everything on their head for the Jews and says, you've kind of got the law wrong. This is how you should interpret the law. If you lust after somebody in your heart, or if you have hated your brother, then you've committed adultery or you have murdered. So he's really like smashed them with a really weak interpretation of the law. He continues and he actually talks about many, many different topics in this particular sermon. So it's actually organized completely differently to the way that we organize our sermons. And I'm sure you're pretty grateful for that we're not covering the smorgasbord of topics in one hit. But I've got a list of famous quotes from this sermon for us, because I'm sure that you probably won't recognize all of them, but as I read these, you'll actually begin to hear these. And even in our culture, they use some of these quotes as well. So here are some of those memorable lines. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Store up your treasures in heaven. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own? You cannot serve both God and money. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not throw your pearls before swines. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Couple more. You'll know them by their fruits. And not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you can see that it was literally a very memorable sermon. But the key question for us to actually think about this morning is, how does he bring this message, this memorable jam-packed sermon, how does he actually bring it to a close? And this has been our Bible reading this morning. The parable of the wise and the foolish builders. And hopefully a really challenging analogy, not just for Jesus to have finished up his sermon, but for us to think about this morning. So have another listen to Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, And the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So here Jesus actually describes just two groups of people. There are those who hear the word of God and then put it into practice. And then there are those who hear the word of God but don't do anything about it. That's just two groups. Two groups for everybody there. And the key difference between these two groups is actually how they respond to what they have heard. You see, both groups are there. Both groups are present. Both groups hear the message. But the way that they respond is actually very, very different. So first, you've got the people who actually hear the word of God, and then they put it into practice in their lives. Jesus likens these to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Then in contrast, you've got the foolish builders. So these are the people who hear the word of God. They hear it, goes in, but they don't do anything about it. You know, when the wind and the waves come, it's not going to go well for that house, is it? And I'm a bit confused here, because the wise builder gets a good rap for building on a solid foundation, but for me that's just common sense, to build on a firm foundation. Surely that's just common sense. And so for a builder to build on sand, it's not just a mistake. Like, that is categorically an extremely silly, foolish mistake. And so it is, we are told, with how people respond to God's word. The truth is that anybody could walk in here on a Sunday morning, hear what's being preached, they could hang out afterwards, have morning tea, and then go home. Anybody can do that. But that in itself is not the equivalent of actually building your house on a firm foundation. Those two things are not the same. The key is actually to listen to what's being heard. That's number one. Then secondly, to actually put it into practice in your life. This doesn't mean works. This isn't a works-based thing. You can hear that the gospel is about faith in Jesus Christ, and you can receive that. All you have to do is receive it, the gift of salvation. But that's still something that is a way that you respond to the word. For teaching, there's practice that isn't contributing to your salvation, but it's actually meaningful for how you are supposed to live your life every single day. Anybody can come along and hear a sermon. Anybody can even appreciate a sermon. You can say, gee, that was a good sermon. But appreciating something and actually applying it to your life, those are two different things. Appreciating it is actually not enough. We have to allow the truth of God's word to shape our whole lives, to shape our hearts, our desires, the things that we want, the things that we love. And the words of Jesus on this particular matter, not mine, these are Jesus. People who come along and hear and then don't do anything differently in their lives, nothing changes, that's foolishness. If you come here and you sit here and you hear stuff and you go home and nothing changes, that is foolishness. Not my words, those are the words of Jesus. And this is not a rebuke at all, but it's a challenge for all of us to reflect on our own heart, to consider our own life. The truth is, we've heard many sermons this year. We've heard about faith. We've heard about the resurrection of Jesus, the death and his resurrection. We've heard about the glory of God. We've heard about sin. And we've heard plenty of sermons about loving one another. more than half a dozen sermons on loving one another. So the question stands for all of us this morning. How have we responded to the teaching of God's word this year? How's the teaching of God's word impacted or changed your life? What has it done in your faith? What has it done in your heart? In this story, who do we find ourselves relating to more? Do we relate to the wise builder or the foolish one? This is not a question of judgment. It's helpful to actually reflect on our own hearts, to think about where we are at. And before we finish up this morning, because we're nearly there, our passage actually gives one more incentive to be hearers and doers of the word. So have a think about the two fates of the two different construction projects that we've actually looked at this morning. So first you've got the house that is built on solid rock. Heavy winds come, floodwaters come, and rain comes. And the house is able to withstand the intensity of these elements. It is strong against these things because of its foundation. The house is designed to do more than just look good. It's actually designed to hold up against the challenges and the tests of life. Compare this with building project number two. The strong rains come, the floodwaters come, and the wind blows and the house falls down in a great and mighty crash. This house did not stand a chance against the tests and the trials of this life. And these two different outcomes actually illustrate for us how we can actually respond to the challenges and the trials that we face in this life. So the rain and the floodwaters and the wind, they're actually representative of the many challenges that we will face in this life. Because the truth is, and we all know this, we live in a fallen world. It is broken, it is filled with broken people, and broken things interacting together cause damage to one another. Pain and challenge and trial, all these things are assured in a world that is not the way it is meant to be. But one of the keys to withstanding all the trials, all the mess that life can throw at us, is actually given to us here in this passage. Those who hear the word of God and put it into practice in their lives, if we do this, we're actually creating a firm foundation in our lives that will enable us to stand up against any trial or test that comes against us in this life. That's the truth, 100% truth. Many of you would be familiar with hardship, pain, loss, suffering, and even some would be familiar with trauma. But we can actually stand against these things. Doesn't delete the pain, doesn't mean that your pain or your frustration or your hurt doesn't exist. These things exist and they are real and we feel them. But if our life is founded on the rock, putting into practice the words which we hear, then we will be able to overcome, withstand anything that this life can throw at us. That's the truth. So this sermon is drawing to an end. Continue with our theme of things ending. This year, as I've said, is drawing to an end. But as we reflect on what we have heard today, my actual prayer and hope for us is two things. One, that we would have been, I guess, challenged with the power of God's word to impact our lives. But two, secondly, to actually consider our own reactions, the way that we personally are responding to what we're hearing. May we be all challenged to reflect on these two things. And let's not be like the foolish builder, hey? Let's not be like those Jews who actually kicked out Jeremiah from the temple and rejected the word of God. Let's be like the wise builders and even the Ninevites in this particular circumstance who actually responded and humbled themselves to God's word. Let's do this. And to finish us up this morning, a quote from Jesus: "He who has ears, let him hear." Or, "She who has ears, let her hear." Please join with me as we pray. Father, I just want to give you thanks for 2021. It has been a big year for all of us. And as much as our services have been consistent, you are consistent, perfectly consistent. We just want to give you thanks for who you are and the fact that you've been there for us, helping us through every step of the way. And Lord, we pray for next year as well, that you'd help us to be not just hearers of the word, but doers as well. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us and establish our steps into the next year as we consider our lives and we consider where we're going, what we're doing, the decisions we have to make. Lord, I pray for your wisdom. I pray for your strength. I pray for your guidance. And I pray that we might have a sense of your nearness, a sense of your presence, that we might be filled with the joy of the Lord. And that's what we talk about at Christmas. We might be filled with your strength. And I pray about our hearts as well. Maybe be open and humble to receive your word. May our lives be shaped by who you are and what you have to say to us. But God, help us to be humble. It's not always easy to receive your word. Sometimes it is challenging for us and hard. But Lord, I pray that you give us the strength to actually be humble and to confess our sin to you and to turn and repent and to go in the path that you have laid out for us as followers of Jesus. So I thank you for this morning. I thank you for all that are here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Dale.